Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, and talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a success coach, spokeswoman, and fundraiser with Successimo.com, a free social networking, informational, and inspirational website. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and a winologist expert. She is your host today on January Jones sharing Successimo stories. So sit back and relax and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones and her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn while you earn. These stories plus sharing equal Successimo.com. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you're entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a C-section? Or do you know someone who has had a C-section? You know, there's probably not a family listening that hasn't had that experience. Tell me, would you like to learn more about how to avoid having a C-section? Did you know that C-section rate has doubled in the last 10 years? Isn't that amazing? It has actually doubled. Can you imagine learning some tricks to reduce the pain of an IV or getting anesthesia? Tell me, do you know how women can recover from a C-section right after surgery? What they need to do, what they need to know. Did you know that 1 in 3 women get a C-section? I think that's just amazing. Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you're looking for? Are you ready to learn while you earn? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. He has provided us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. Before I introduce him, I'd like to give you our call-in number if you have any questions. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. Also, I'm pleased to announce to my listeners today that this show being broadcasted live right now is featured on the front page at blogtalkradio.com. I'm honored to be a featured host, and this show will be promoted on the front page throughout the day. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. My guest is America's number one expert on cesarean sections. As chief of obstetric anesthesiology for over 23 years, he has personally helped more than 24,000 women giving birth and been in charge of over 125,527 deliveries. That's a lot of babies. He remains committed to helping women improve their birthing experiences with education, choice, and safety. He trained in New York City, teaching others in New York and California, helping women in public and private hospitals from all walks of life. My guest has authored numerous papers, textbooks, lectured nationally and internationally on important topics such as heart disease, pregnancy, neurological complications, and anesthesia during pregnancy. He advocates for women's health within the medical community through his work on numerous committees, having served on the board of directors of the California Society of Obstetrics. He has developed the Safe Baby System for women, men, and their babies. I am very pleased to welcome to our show today Dr. Mark Zukowski. Hello, Dr. Mark. How are you today?
Great, and thank you so much for bringing me on the show and giving me an opportunity to spread the message and to help men and women across the country and the world.
Ah, yes, because this is a family issue for everyone. Now, you wrote a wonderful book, and you have all fantastic information. And what I'm amazed is, why are so many women now getting C-sections? One out of three, that's pretty amazing, isn't that?
Well, it's astounding, and the trend has been to keep increasing, and as you mentioned in the intro, it's increased over 50%, it's increased over the last 15 years to over 1 in 3 women nationally within the U.S., and this is not just a trend in the United States, but actually has been the trend in developed countries around the world.
Now, are these all, they can't all be emergency sections. A lot of these are planned, aren't they?
Well, yes. A big factor is, one, there's 6 to 8% of women who choose to have a cesarean section for elective or non-medically indicated reasons, as well as they've really decreased the, if you've had one section, trying for a vaginal delivery. A few years ago, they changed the rules of what kind of support you need at the hospitals in order to do that, and that just turned a lot of the hospitals and obstetricians off of even trying.
Okay. Now, what do you do if you want to avoid having one?
Well, that goes back to the very beginning as to what the reason you had your first C-section, just because you had it, for example, the umbilical cord was causing problems with the fetal heart rate. That does not mean that will happen again, as compared to, oh, your pelvis was too small to let the baby out. That would possibly happen again. But it really comes down to knowing what's going on and asking the right questions. You can pick the right obstetrician who's going to be more friendly towards having a trial of labor after cesarean, what's called now TOLAC, or even picking the right hospital. Many hospitals have the services and support available 24/7 in order to foster that kind of care, but many mid-sized and smaller hospitals don't. And trying to have a vaginal delivery after cesarean may not be an option in those hospitals.
Okay, because, you know, I grew up thinking once you had one, you had to have them for the rest of your babies, that you had no other options. And what you're saying is you actually can have a regular vaginal delivery after having a C-section, and it's perfectly safe, right?
Oh, yes, you're referring to the old once a C-section, always a C-section. That's not probably not true. But we want to try to foster choices, and that's really what I'm all about, which is to help educate people so that they can make an informed choice. It's really not you have to have one or the other. You should know all about your choices, and then you can make the personal choice for you and your family.
Okay. Well, that's quite an improvement. So not a lot of women previously didn't have that choice or just assumed they wouldn't always have C-sections. This is good news. You know, Dr. Mark, right now we're going to hear from our sponsor, Successimo. And when we come back, I would like to have you share your website information and tell my listeners how they can get your book. We'll be right back with Dr. Mark Zukowski.
When you think that something is too good to be true, could you ever be wrong? The answer is yes, yes, yes when it comes to Successimo.com, because you will earn while you learn, and it will be free, free, free. Successimo.com is a social networking site that will change the way you learn and earn money while you work on your computer at home. This free website provides continuous learning opportunities while rewarding you for taking lessons and inviting others to join with you receiving inspirational information. You'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. Just what does free mean to users at successimo.com? It means that there are no fees, no donations, no pledges. You will never need cash, checks, or credit cards. All revenues are generated from advertisers at the website, just like Facebook and Twitter. This too-good-to-be-true social networking site is the newest paradigm on the Internet for home-based business and nonprofit organizations. Do you hate asking people for money? We all do. And the good news is that Successimo is a fundraiser for nonprofits that does not require money. It just requires small amounts of your time or your organization's time to raise funds. When you do lesson activities, you'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. When you think of Successimo.com, you need to think learn while you earn. And always remember that passion plus purpose equals prosperity. Successimo.com is not only too good to be true, it is unbelievably innovative, and there are no downsides since no money is ever required. Successimo.com is the right website for now because it is the first one ever to pay people to participate. No one else does this. So sign up now and stop whining, start winning, and start being Successimo. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back. This is January Jones with my wonderful guest, Dr. Mark Zukowski. Dr. Mark, before we give your website information, we have a caller, and let me ask the caller if they could identify themselves. Hello, caller. Do you have a question for Dr. Mark?
And who is at this very moment?
Okay. No question. They're just listening, Dr. Mark. Could you share your website information and tell us where we can get your books?
Well, the book, C-section, the title of the book is C-section, How to Avoid, Prepare for, and Recover from Your Cesarean, and that's on Amazon. And there's the website you can come to for more information, where you can also purchase the book, is safebabyuniversity.com.
Wonderful.
Safebabyuniversity.com. As well, I have a lot of information on some YouTube videos that you might enjoy. Dr. Mark Zukowski.
Wonderful. And that website is posted on our show page for our listeners. And please go to it and check it out. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. Now tell me, what can a woman do who knows that she's going to have a C-section and she'd like to tune up to reduce the anxiety? What can you tell them?
Well, the more you know and can anticipate, the easier it's going to be. And you point out, you reference to a good point, which is that the more anxious you are, it increases your catecholamines and actually will reduce blood flow to the baby. So things that you can do that help to make you feel more relaxed, you know, will help. Things that you can help prepare for just include knowing what to expect. Some of it's simple things like I have a bunch of very easy, non-stressful, no-impact exercises you can do that will help both your pelvic floor and your abdominal wall, and that should help speed up your recovery afterwards. Even to taking the right, eating right, taking the right vitamins, how to prepare yourself so you reduce your chance of infection from the surgery. There's ways to clean yourself the day or two beforehand. Use the special antibiotic hospital kind of soap that's been shown to reduce infections of the skin. Even surprisingly, there's lots of literature to show that if you take the correct probiotic, the good bacteria, that helps to reduce the chance for infection after cesarean section also.
Okay, now what are some of the tricks to reduce the pain of an IV? Something we need to know about getting anesthesia, some other tips that you can get women.
Yes, I actually have a video about what you can do to help position yourself correctly. But it really comes down to, if I could reduce it just to one word, it would be to slouch. I know it's a nerve-wracking time when you get anesthesia and everybody's tense, but if you reduce it to its most basic form, if you just sort of try to relax, put your chin down to your chest, and really slouch and round that lower part of your back out, it opens up the bones in the space where they need to go, as well as communication. Many women are afraid to speak up, but if you feel the needle off on one side, then you need to speak up and say, oh, I feel it on the left. Because of the pregnancy, you're not going to be using x-ray to help guide you. You're going by what you feel in the anatomy and the landmarks. But if you're feeling that it's not in the center of your back, you definitely need to speak up, and you can be helpful in the process as well as helping to avoid problems. That's really one of the key principles of the my philosophy in the Safe Baby System, Safe Baby University, which is one of the missing links, as I like to say, in patient safety nowadays is the patient. You know, they educate the nurses, the doctors. They try to set up a system that maximizes safety for the patient, but the patient needs to be, you need to be an active participant and know a little bit at least of what's going on, and you can make a great difference.
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Mark, we have a caller calling in from area code 818. Hello, caller. What is your name, and where are you calling from, and do you have a question for Dr. Mark?
My name is Brooke Gabby, and I have a question, and I'm in Agora Hills.
Okay.
My question is, if I'm having a C-section, I'm having twins. I'm wondering why the doctor is saying I most likely will have a C-section.
That's an excellent question. If you've not had a vaginal delivery before, very few obstetricians would let you try to have one. There's the chance that the baby could get stuck, or between the delivery of the first and the second baby, the placenta might start to separate from the uterus and cause a problem. Even when we do vaginal delivery of twins in the operating room, we do it in the operating room with what's called a double setup, which is just the old term of you're going to go vaginally, but we're prepared if typically it's the second baby that develops a problem, you know, you go to severe infection. So a few obstetricians will do it. It's very uncommon for if you have not had a vaginal delivery before in terms of their willingness to do it.
I think also because I'm an older pregnant, you know, I'm older having my twins, I think they consider that it's more likely the twins will be born prematurely, and so they'll be more small, and they were talking about that problem too.
Oh, yes, you're quite right. There's another one of the trends that actually contributes to this increase in the C-section rate is that women are choosing to have babies a little later in life. And as you get older, it's not really old, but, you know, once you hit 35, that increases the chances of problems with the pregnancy. And certainly over 40, there's more medical problems that can occur with the pregnancy. Typically, those are women who have had some infertility problems, which has led to an increase in multiple births. Twins or triplets, and that does have more complications. Things can go wrong. Women who have couples who have tried so hard and gone through so much to get to that point, nobody wants to take a chance that there's a problem during the delivery, and that's why they go straight to the C-section.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Also, I have another question. Do they require that they shave you when they give you a C-section?
Well, they will save you. It's up to you if you want to do it on your own or not. A lot of women either shave themselves or have waxed. So, but if not, don't worry about it. They'll shave you right before the cesarean section. I would recommend, however, you know, having good hygiene, but also washing yourself and using some of the antibacterial soap for a day or two over that area. That's been shown to help reduce infections. You can get that actually in the drugstore, Hibiclens.
Is shaving optional or is it required?
Well, they have to shave to slightly below where they're going to do the incision, which is very low, just above the pubic bone.
Okay, well, thank you, Brooke.
You're,
and,
you're welcome. They were great
good
questions.
Luck. Thank you.
Good luck with your babies. We're going to hear a word. We're going to hear a word about your host right now, and when we come back, we have some more questions for Dr. Mark Sikowski.
Lately, there's been a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about, why they whine, and most importantly, how to stop them from whining. The 11th Commandment deals with all of the complaints and causes, and there are over 100 plus cures for whining with humor and hope in this edition. This is the perfect gift to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. It'll make you laugh at yourself and others. John Curtis, a distinguished author, reminds us that it is the perfect gift for anyone who wants to be healthy and happy with humor, honey, and hope, and for people who are just hopeless. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com and at the Successimo.com Coaches Bookstore. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. As Sally Shields, best-selling author, states, January Jones gets to the core of the matter with her quick-witted tips and cures that cut to the chase and will put any seasoned whiner to shame. So get reading and stop whining and start winning with Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment.
Welcome back with my guest, Dr. Mark Sikowski. And, Doctor, what can a woman do who has had a C-section? How can she make her recovery go faster?
That's a great question. Actually, in Chapter 10 of my book, I've got a lot of tips about when you go home and an earlier tip about how to recover faster. And it starts actually right after having the cesarean to even the first time they give you something to drink. So a lot of women are very thirsty, which is understandable. They're a little bit parched on the lips, and they gulp down a lot of, you know, fluid. Well, but it will make you more nauseous, and I suggest avoiding the sugary drinks, even though they may offer you, like, apple juice. Some women, all that sugar comes in and it makes them bloat a few hours later. And if you bloat, that's going to increase your pain. Also, yeah, I have tips on how to move around properly, because you really, the old style was, oh, stay in bed for several days, you know, don't move for a while. But now it's been shown that you actually recover faster if you move around a bit early.
Uh-huh.
So one tip for doing that, and this applies for any kind of surgery, whether, you know, any abdominal surgery, is before you move, brace yourself, even if you have to cough or sneeze, sort of put your hands across the incision and press in a little bit, and that will reduce tension and therefore pain across your incision. And as well, it's very important, people underestimate the pain after C-section, and it's a little bit of a problem. 10% of women will have what's termed chronic pain after cesarean section. One study, it was 14 to maybe even 18% had pain 1 year later. So what can you do? One of the important things is to actually take your pain medicines. Many women that I have taken care of and speak to believe that, oh, I don't want to take pain medicine, I don't want it to get to the baby. But that's actually incorrect, which is you want to have good pain relief so that you feel better. There's a thing called spinal cord windup, where if you have acute pain now, you're more likely to have chronic pain later. It's been associated with the two. So if you can manage your pain better now, you're less likely to have pain later. And if you have less pain now, you're more able to interact and be comfortable and do stuff with your baby. So that's really a win-win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there are signs to be alert for infection, bleeding, scar problems. And you also talk about postpartum depression, and I'm sure that's a big part of trying to avoid that during recovery, right?
Oh, yes. It's been talked about some in the media, but it is still a big problem where, you know, around roughly 10% of women have some component of postpartum depression. And it's very important for the women to recognize, but also the men who are around, the husbands, the families, to recognize and to offer help and assistance.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Dr. Zakowski, we have to go now. However, I hope to have you back on the show soon, because I would like to discuss with you and explore your Safe Babies campaign. Will you be able to come back soon, I hope?
Oh, yes, definitely. And that would be great. I'll be launching a Save 100,000 Babies campaign from premature birth, disability, and problems afterwards.
Okay, well, we will schedule that show for sure. For all of my listeners, these shows are on at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time live. You can catch all of these interviews with constant streaming at Blog Talk Radio 24/7. This Saturday, we're going to be doing a fantastic show. It's going to be on the election, and I have co-host Kojenwa Mayotte and co-host Rob Hill, and each one will be trying to convince me to vote for their presidential candidate. So it'll be a fun show tomorrow. I'm looking forward to having some interesting election discussions with both of my co-hosts. In the meantime, if you've enjoyed this show, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. If you are interested in checking out our Successimo program, just go to our website, www.successimo.com, S-U-C-C-E-S-S-I-M-O. Look it over, and you can sign on without any financial obligations whatsoever. My sponsor email is januaryjonesinfo@gmail.com. I would love to mentor you and help you get started so you too can learn, earn, and return as you play it upward. Successimo is an amazing opportunity to help out any nonprofits or charities that you work with. You can actually help them raise funds without asking for money. Yes, you heard me right. It's a brilliant plan that is easy to implement anytime, anywhere. So for now, dear listeners, I want you to stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing Successimo with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, you can start eating lots of chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Some of the Halloween candy still left over at my house. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Dr. Mark Zakowski. I look forward to having him back discussing his SafeBabyUniversity.com. Go to that website and check it out. For now, this is January Jones thanking you for joining me on my journey today and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones sharing Successimo stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you think it, you can do it. That's what all of our success coaches have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own Successimo story with your family and friends. We hope that our stories will encourage you to explore an equation in the future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others, and that will equate to creating cash for your future. Your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you learn while you earn with us and January Jones, sharing Successimo stories.
The people whom Dr. Ford claimed were witnesses, they have spoken with the FBI. We know that because they, through their attorneys, put out public statements saying so. And what we know now is what we knew at this time a week ago. There is absolutely no corroborating evidence for these allegations. Same thing we heard a week ago. If there were, you bet we'd have heard about it, but there isn't. So notwithstanding that, Madam President, the leak of Dr. Ford's letter in violation of her privacy and against her wishes opened the floodgates. The feeding frenzy was full off. The weaponization of her letter by the left led to a torrent of other equally uncorroborated allegations. They were dumped on Judge Kavanaugh and his family. And breathlessly, the media seized on them. The more outlandish, the better. Americans were informed that Judge Kavanaugh masterminded violent drug gangs as a young teenager until that accuser walked her story back. We were informed that Judge Kavanaugh beat someone up on a boat in a Rhode Island harbor until that accuser totally recanted. We heard another tall tale of physical assault until that account was thoroughly debunked by a sitting federal judge. Oh, and yes, we were informed that juvenile jokes in his high school yearbook were actually sinister secret references. All the Keystone cops were on the case. Keystone cops were on the case, Madam President. And Senate Democrats cheered them all. They read parts of this uncorroborated, unbelievable mudslide into the Senate record. They cited them in an official letter demanding that Judge Kavanaugh's nomination be withdrawn. Were they true? Well, of course, that was quite beside the point. Quite beside the point. So long as they were convenient. Every effort was made to ensure that the fact-free verdict of the mob and the media would win out over the actual evidence. Make sure the mob prevailed. But the uncorroborated mud and the partisan noise and the physical intimidation of members here in the Senate will not have the final say around here. The Senate will have the final say. So, Madam President, we're almost at the end of the runway. The crosswinds of anger and fear and partisanship have blown strong these past weeks. They've harmed a good man and his family. They've tarnished the dignity of this institution. But all of it can end today. The time has come to vote. The Senate stands on the threshold of a golden opportunity. We have the opportunity to advance the nomination of an incredibly well-qualified and well-respected jurist to a post that demands such excellence. We have the opportunity to put Judge Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, where his distinguished service will make us and our nation proud for years to come. But we have the opportunity to do even more. Today, we can send a message to the American people that some core principles remain unfettered by the partisan passions of this moment. Facts matter. Fairness matters. The presumption of innocence is sacrosanct. The Senate has turned its back on these things before, Madam President, but never for long, and never without deep regret. This institution does not look back proudly on the era of Joseph McCarthy. nor on any of the other times on the politics of personal destruction, poison. It's judgment. No, no, the Senate looks back on those things with shame and with a conviction that we cannot go down that road again. We know the Senate is better than this. We know the nation deserves better than this. By confirming Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, this brilliant jurist will be charged with upholding the rule of law and honoring American justice. We must hold ourselves to that very same standard. We must seize the golden opportunity before us today to confirm a Supreme Court justice who will make us proud and to reaffirm our own commitment to the justice that every single American deserves.
As a reminder to our guests in the gallery, the expressions of approval or disapproval are not permitted in the Senate galleries. The clerk will report the motion to invoke cloture.
Cloture motion. We, the undersigned senators, in accordance with the provisions of Rule 22 of the Standing Rules of the Senate, do hereby move to bring to a close debate on the nomination of Brett M. Kavanaugh to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, signed by 17 senators.
Unanimous consent, the mandatory quorum will be waived.
Is there objection? Without objection. By unanimous consent, the mandatory quorum call has been waived. The question is it the sense of the Senate that debate on the nomination of Brett M. Kavanaugh of Maryland to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court shall be brought to a close? The yeas and nays are mandatory under the rule. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Alexander.
Aye.
Ms. Baldwin.
You are listening now to the roll call. 30 minutes now, the clock starts for this vote to be happening. Senators will have an opportunity over the next half hour to cast their vote. And we are now watching three critical people because while you were watching Mitch McConnell speak, Susan Collins came out and ended some of the drama surrounding this particular vote. She is a yes on the procedural vote to continue forward with the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. Doesn't mean she's definitely going to vote for Brett Kavanaugh, but right now she has said she will move to proceed. This cloture vote, as we're talking about here, that's the technical term for what it's called. That means all eyes are on Jeff Flake, Joe Manchin, Lisa Murkowski. Garrett Haight was one of the reporters who caught up with Susan Collins just moments ago. Garrett, what does she have to tell you?
Collins has said little all week, and she's not saying much now, but she did say, as you just described, that she would vote to proceed to the final vote here. And as you pointed out, Allie, we should not look at this as a proxy for how she'll vote in the end. In the case of Betsy DeVos, for example, Susan Collins voted to get to the final vote and then voted against DeVos. What we're seeing here, I think, is far more equivalent to what we saw with John McCain during the health care vote. He voted to get the final health care bill on the floor, continued to look over it, ultimately voted against it. You've got these undecided senators who have still been going over this FBI report. One of our producers just saw Joe Manchin leaving the secure room where that FBI report's being kept a few minutes ago on his way to this vote. So what I think we're probably going to see here are a number of senators who say, yes, let's keep this going. Yes, let's move the ball forward. But they're not ready to come right out and say what their decision is because I think in many cases, they haven't made that decision yet.
Here's a look at what Senator Collins had to say, or not say. She was walked out of her office headed to this vote. Watch her. Here. So we are waiting to see what Jeff Flake does. It doesn't change the timeline here, right? When this vote or else it moves forward, triggering a clock of up to 30 hours, which I'm going to stop on Kapoor, who's joining me here on set and covers the Hill, would essentially put a final vote on Brett Kavanaugh if this moves forward at right around 4 or 5 o'clock tomorrow night.
Likely tomorrow, Hallie, will be the final vote. It looks like this has the vote for cloture, and we are waiting to see where Lisa Murkowski, Jeff Flake, and Joe Manchin fall on this cloture vote. If one of them vote yes, it appears that Republicans have 50 votes to move forward with the final confirmation vote. It is not necessarily true, as Garrett pointed out, that Collins voting yes on this procedural motion means she'll vote yes on the final vote. She voted, Betsy DeVos was right,
yes,
where she voted yes on cloture, no on the final. Lisa Murkowski, also a critical vote, voted yes on cloture for Betsy DeVos, no on the final vote. These are two pivotal votes on this. I just want to make one point about the context surrounding all of this. There's been a lot of stuff about the presumption of innocence and, you know, around the investigation. This is not a legal case where Brett Kavanaugh, you know, it's not a court of law,
right,
where Brett Kavanaugh's freedom is being questioned. This is a political question for senators about whether he gets promoted from the nation's second highest court to the highest court. One senator who came out yesterday against him, Heidi Heitkamp, a red state Democrat facing re-election in a place Trump won by 36 points, questioned, I'm going to quote here, she said, the hearing calls into question Judge Kavanaugh's current temperament, honesty, and impartiality. That is what this is likely to come down to with federal senators like Jeff Flake, who's also raised questions in his view that Kavanaugh was a little too sharp, although maybe a little too partisan. Again, not dispositive. We don't know how he's going to go. Flake traditionally votes with President Trump, with his party, especially on things like judicial nominations. But these are the questions that senators are ultimately going to have to consider here.
And so, Hallie, you understand the relationship here. Chuck Todd spoke a bit about the concern that he is hearing from sources. I know Casey Hunt, Garrett Hake on the Hill are hearing this as well. Concern now of the partisan views that Kavanaugh seemed to espouse in the testimony last week. He has that new op-ed out now, right, in the Wall Street Journal, which seems to be a direct shot at saying, hey, I hear your concerns, let me put those concerns to rest.
It certainly seems to be an effort to assuage concerns, and I just want to quote from that op-ed you just mentioned, Hallie, that Kavanaugh wrote last night. On the eve of the vote, the timing is very interesting here. He said, and I quote, I might have been too emotional at times. I know that my tone was sharp, and I said a few things that I should not have said, unquote. Then he promised to be a fair and impartial judge, which he said he has been throughout his career. This comes, again, after Flake has questioned, you know, his tone and kind of suggested he was a little too partisan. After Heitkamp, who voted for Neil Gorsuch, by the way, wanted to get to yes on this nomination, cited that as a reason she couldn't get to yes. These are also, you know, these are questions, as Chuck Todd reported earlier in this show, that other senators have as well, and this could be a deciding factor. It sounds like Kavanaugh wanted to assure senators that tone that he offered at that Thursday hearing is not how he's going to be on the Supreme Court. Will they believe him? We'll find out.
That's a good question. I think Garrett Hake might still be up with us. And if he is, I want to ask, Garrett, a point that you've been making. Heidi Heitkamp, we learned yesterday, was a no. She is close, as you point out, with both Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. Two of these critical, outstanding votes here on the final nomination count for Brett Kavanaugh. How does that relationship play into this? Do you think Senators Collins and Murkowski are feeling the pressure now that their friend and close colleague Heidi Heitkamp is a no?
They very well might, Hallie. Remember, there was that iconic photo, I think it was taken the night of the healthcare vote, of Susan Collins and Heidi Heitkamp together in an elevator after the vote was over. The two of them had this moment after having gone through all this pressure together. Remember, look, there are only, what, I think 7 female senators total in this body right now. They are by nature a close group. And Heitkamp and Collins, as you know, Collins being one of the more liberal Republicans, Heitkamp being one of the more conservative Democrats, they work together on a lot of things, and they find themselves central to these debates over and over and over again. There are a lot of conversations ongoing constantly between these women, and I absolutely think the way they view these issues are similar, if not exactly the same. So, yes, I think Heitkamp's personal closeness here, and this is the great thing about the Senate. This is a small body, and these people all know each other. And I think that personal closeness matters there. I also think politically, Heitkamp's decision to be a no vote makes life a lot harder for Joe Manchin. The two of them are both in similar situations. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to even first crack your reaction here. As it turns out, we still have to confirm Jeff Flake is a yes on the cloture vote, this motion to proceed. So he has now voted. I am being told that is confirmed. He will move forward now, along with Susan Collins, to continue, to this final vote on Brett Kavanaugh. Garrett, Gary, you still with me?
Hang on. Sorry, I was trying to listen to one other thing here, Hallie. I'm trying to hear what Murkowski's vote was here. So I'm seeing conflicting things about that, too.
Murkowski is a no, Garrett. Murkowski is a no, I'm being told. She is not voting to move forward. However, Joe Manchin is a yes. So we now know how they're all voting. Susan Collins, Jeff Flake, Joe Manchin will move forward. That means Judge Brett Kavanaugh will get a shot at a final vote after up to 30 hours now of four speakers for both Democrats and Republicans. So he has passed this critical test. He is over this hurdle. Incredibly significant for Republicans, for the president, who is undoubtedly watching this from the White House, along with the vice president, who is there now, I'm told. Garrett, Sahil, we have Jennifer Epstein, Charlie Savage here with me on set as well. Garrett, I'll go to you first here. Explain what happens next. We're going to see 30 hours, potentially, of Republicans and Democrats, which sets us up for a final vote on Judge Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation tomorrow night, right?
Yes, so we'll see up to 30 hours of debate here, and the clock could shift. Republicans, if they start to suddenly feel like they have the votes, could yield back some of their time to try to get the votes done earlier, or they could push this absolutely all the way to the limit of the 30 hours. But by the way, Hallie, talking about the personal nature of the Senate, this vote actually could go a lot longer than 30 hours, because Steve Daines, a Republican from Montana, has said he'll be walking his daughter down the aisle at her wedding tomorrow in Montana, and so he might have to fly back and first thing Sunday morning. They could hold this vote open. So there is a personal dynamic to this if the vote is that close. Now, the fact that Murkowski was a no and Flake was a yes is fascinating to me. I've been saying for 2 days now, I think Murkowski is probably the most likely to vote no here.
Mm-hmm.
She is politically bulletproof in Alaska. She has been listening very, very closely to women from Alaska who've been coming here to talk to her about her vote. Her governor back home doesn't like Brett Kavanaugh. She had a lot of political cover here, and it's interesting that she decided to put her foot down now, not wait till later, and just say, you know what, I'm a no on the motion to proceed, or a no on the cloture vote. I'm setting this aside now. Blake and Collins, yeah, go ahead.
Let's be very, very clear here. The vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh will now happen. That's what this vote this morning was all about.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a done deal yet. Just because these senators, Susan Collins, Joe Manchin, Jeff Flake, have voted yes on this procedural vote does not mean also a yes.
Oh, no.
Even